Scripture, Luke 19, 41 through 45. And he said to them, how can they say that the Christ is the son of David? Now David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore David calls him Lord. How is he then his son? Then in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples,
what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Could you give a definition? If we were to go around the room, and we're not going to, but if we did, and we got to you, what would you say? What is a Christian? I have four things that I want us to mention tonight that I suggest that makes a Christian, or at least gives us a definition of a Christian. And I think the challenging thing for each one of us is to look at ourselves and see if we fall in this category or in these categories. As I say quite often, I talk to myself, and when I prepare a sermon, I preach to myself quite often. But here's the four. Number one, what is a Christian? It is a mind through which Christ thinks. What kind of mind do we have? For an example, if someone wrongs us, offends us, or does something to us in some way, what's our mind set? You see, Jesus had a mission. If you turn to Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, and let's look at verses 33 and also verse 34. This was the crucifixion of Jesus, and starting in verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left side. And this is where we get into, in verse 34, Christ's mind, and where is our mind? Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. You know, we can learn a lot from Jesus. After all, we all know that, and we talk about it, and we believe that a Christian is someone who wears Christ's name. Therefore, each one of us, as we consider these four areas tonight, what is our mind? Jesus' mission was to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. We was lost. John 3 and verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Before church started, I think Monty brought up a very good point to me. I know. That wasn't the point I was making. He brought up a good point to me last Wednesday night when I had a devotional, and then again today when we were talking about evangelism and talking to other people. How often do we leave here and have concern about the lost? And I know we're concerned about the lost. I don't mean that negative, but I'm talking about concerned enough that we're seeking the lost. You know, Jesus, in the passage which we just read in Luke 23, his concern on the cross was, Father, forgive them. That was an example for each one of us. Number two, what is a Christian? A Christian is a voice through which Christ speaks. Kind of helps us understand how we should control our tongue. If Christ is speaking through each one of us, What is Jesus saying? You know, in Matthew chapter 11, I think I used this morning, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Is Jesus speaking through us each day? Whether it's our young people that we have here at school, or whether it's us older folks at work or home or wherever we may be. Are we helping our spouse? Are we helping our children? Are we helping our loved ones? Are we helping our co-workers by the way that we talk? The things we say, the things we do. And it's just not just talking ugly or saying, as we would say, dirty words. We can hurt each other with our tongue in other ways. We know that to be gossip and lying and a lot of different things. But a Christian is one that Jesus is speaking through them. And then the third thing would be, what is a Christian? It's a hand through which Christ helps. A hand through which Christ helps. Where do we spend our time? It kind of goes back to what Monty said earlier when we're out talking to other people. You know, why is the building not full? Are we out working for the Lord? Are we trying to make a difference in people's lives? In John 17, verses 1 through 4, these words, it says, spake Jesus. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God of Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth." Listen, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Jesus was busy with his hands. He was doing the work that God had sent him to do, and that passes on to each one of us as Christians, that our hands need to be busy working for the Lord. And then fourth, what is a Christian? It's a heart through which Christ loves. Definition of a Christian is simple. It's the mind, the voice, the hand, and the heart of us. And we're using those four things in our life to demonstrate what Christ is to us. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." How much love do we have in our hearts, and do we demonstrate it to others by Christ? Found an article today. I thought it was pretty good. A princess had a young daughter, and her daughter had a disease. The doctors told the woman to stay away from the face of her young child and do not let her breathe on you, or do not breathe your daughter's breath, because if you do, you would contract this terminally disease and you'll die. The story goes on to say, one day as the daughter lay dying, she began to choke. As the mother lifted her up to help her from choking, she held her in her arms. The little girl looked up, opened her eyes, and said, "Mommy, kiss me." Knowing she would die, but loving her daughter more than the fear of death, she kissed her daughter as her daughter exhaled her final breath. 2 months later, the story says that the mother passed away. How much love do we have? not necessarily just for our children, but I believe this sermon could go to our children, because the example that we're showing our children, our grandchildren, of what God means to us, what we're willing to do for God and how we're willing to sacrifice for God, showing these four areas in our life, demonstrating it each and every day of our life, making sure that when someone asks what a Christian is, that they can see Christ in us in these four areas. I looked up this afternoon as I was thinking about Jesus, and I was thinking about the compassion that he had and he showed while on this earth. Here's three other verses if you want to look up that I think interesting and demonstrates the love that Jesus had. Number one is everybody's going to know it, John 11 and verse 35. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And when we think about the compassion that he has, he knew that Mary and Martha needed someone to care for them and carry the pain that they had. But he also knew that he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep." Henry VIII, wandering in disguise one night in London, was met at the foot of a bridge by a night watchman. They did not believe that he was who he said he was, that he was king. So they shut him up without fire or a candle one night in a holding cell. The next day, when he was released, he granted coals for fire and some bread for all night prisoners in the jail. What does that teach us? It teaches us that experience brings sympathy. Jesus had sympathy. The second passage you can look up, it's found in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 45. Monty, that was the verse that I'd give you. He had done all he could to get people to believe Jesus. He had done everything that he knew to do, and yet people were persistent in their doubt. The voices as he went into Jerusalem said, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of our Lord." That's found in Luke 19 and verse 38. Those voices would soon scream, "Crucify him, crucify him." So Jesus knew in his heart that the people, as they spoke, as they cheered for him, was going to be the very ones later on wanting him to be crucified. And then the third one, found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. The writer of Hebrews reveals details about the garden that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not. It says in Hebrews 5:5-7, it says, "When he had offered up his prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from the death, and was heard." Jesus wept in Gethsemane the night before he was arrested. Compassion. Caring about our neighbors. What's the definition of a Christian in our minds? You know, Americans take 33 billion aspirins each year. That's a bunch. And Jesus knows every headache that we have. He's traveled this road. And yet on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's the voice that needs to be heard today from each one of us. Tonight, are you a Christian? Are you living a life that's pleasing to God? These are questions that we ask, or I ask, every time before we close a service, because it's an opportunity for us to examine ourselves, examine our life, see where we stand, see how we're living, see what changes we need to make. Tonight, if you're not a Christian and you want to become one, we're about to sing a song of encouragement. We encourage you to step out of the aisle, coming forward, confessing your faith, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you've been unfaithful and you need the prayers of the church, won't you come while we sing?